The off-season train has left the station. It's time to get on it. So let's get to some Braves talk. With the season now finally over, the offseason is starting to roll on, and it is no better time for the Braves Talk boys to come back and start to break some things down. Welcome to Braves Talk, everybody. This is the Iceman, Matt Freights, and across from me, the coach and the OG. Welcome, guys. It's been a while.
Iceman, Dad, Braves Nation, good evening. It is offseason, although today and this week, it feels a lot like basketball season is in full swing outside here in Central Illinois, but we are there, man. The Braves obviously finished up the season in the NIT after the nice home win over former Valley rival Loyola Chicago, and then went on the road to lose to a pretty good Cincinnati team and former Bradley assistant Drew Adams. But all in all, a successful season, a good showing in the postseason, and really excited for a lot of the possibilities that exist going into this offseason. I don't know about you, Dad. What do you think?
Pretty exciting finish to the year. It was a good year overall. Had a couple little speed bumps, but very satisfied with this year and can't wait for next.
Kind of sounds like Braves talk, doesn't it, gentlemen? A couple of bumps along the road, very satisfied with how things went. But yeah, the offseason is here. And while the NCAA tournament is in full swing with the Final Four coming up this weekend, records being broken last night with Iowa and LSU women's basketball, we're here to talk about the Braves, and while that may be selfish, that's the whole point of this show. So, Brad, I want you to get into some of the outgoing players, some of the news that we have received with the transfer portal, so that we can kind of start to break down where Bradley sits today, and then let's look at the Valley, because there's been a lot of chaos in the Valley, and hopefully by the end of this, we can feel pretty good about where Bradley is heading into next season.
Yeah, so obviously we're losing Malvi Leon's graduation, and I know we'll circle back to him here shortly. But as far as a transfer portal goes, with guys that still have eligibility left, so we've lost Connor Hickman into the transfer portal with a couple of destinations that are being speculated about. Not a huge surprise, I think, to anyone who sort of paid attention throughout the year. And, you know, Gonar Ballou has another year of eligibility, went ahead and hopped himself into the portal. And then also Kyle Thomas, which is one that I think that, you know, fans seem a little torn on because there were some flashes there. People saw some potential, obviously maybe just a case of not a great fit within the system as it existed. And, you know, so I think that those guys are all going to land somewhere where they're going to be able to find whatever it is that they're looking for. Of course, Connor's production is a lot to replace, but I'm confident in the staff that they're going to be able to do that. And I don't know, I'm sure, Dad, you and I have talked a bunch about the transfer portal, outgoing players, things like that. I don't know. I'm sure that Braves Nation would like to hear how you feel about the departures.
I think everybody's a little torn with Connor. We would really love to see him stay, you know, finish out his final year of eligibility here. But, you know, I think we all understand, you know, and we get it. And sometimes, I don't know, on the positive end, we can sometimes look at addition by subtraction.
That's a bold statement.
In a way. So maybe we can get better. Possibly, that's yet to be seen, but Gonar, I don't know what can you say? You know, I just don't have anything to, you know, with him. He was, you know, I sort of maybe when he first signed up, you know, had some positive thoughts. You know, hey, he can come in, maybe do some stuff. So, but was disappointed yet again.
It's mid-major basketball, and obviously you say that, but you look, I mean, Indiana State hit out of the park in the portal. There's other programs that hit out of the park in the portal, so I'm not making excuses because it can't be done. But, you know, it has created a whole new environment and a whole new element to recruiting in general, not just recruiting players outside your program, but having to constantly recruit players within your program. And that's one thing that I think Brian Wardle seems to have done successfully this year in being able to retain Duke Dean to come back for his final year of eligibility, which everyone's really, really excited about. You know, freshman potential superstar down the road, Damarian Birch, decided to stick around. Christian Davis is going to be back. And then I think that the consensus on Darius is no news is good news in terms of his return. And, you know, there hasn't been anything definitive, and maybe that's part of, you know, this is pure fan speculation. I don't know anything, but maybe, who knows, maybe that's part of what Dave Aminian has alluded to in his tweets as far as news coming out. Maybe it involves Darius, possibly other players. And then I've got to believe at this point, you know, having not heard anything about Almar or Meta, that they will be returning as well. So I'm sure that there are some mixed feelings, especially maybe when we get to Meta and things like that. But also, you know, those are guys, they're still, Almar and Meta are still young guys. I think have a lot of potential, and there could be growth. And I think there could be a role for them within a system that has, you know, maybe some better, more physical players around them.
I think in today's paradigm, when I look at what has happened so far for Bradley, I consider it a win. And I know that obviously the leadership capabilities of Connor is going to be an intangible that's going to be very difficult to replace. And that's something that you just can't foster. It has to happen organically over time. But I think when I look at everything, Brian Wardle staying, I think, was the first domino, because there was a lot of coaching movement just in the NCAA in general. And when that happens with NIL, with the transfer portal, you're going to get a lot of people leaving, especially when a coach leaves. And so for the program to feel this stable with the amount of guys that seemingly are going to be back from a very solid squad, not just this year, but the year before, and really only losing a couple of guys that, while they had contributions to this team at Rick, as you said, with the portal, with recruiting, there is always potential for progress. But I take this as a win because of the way that this is. I mean, mid-major basketball can be just absolutely ravaged every single year because these Power 5, Power 6 programs are going to go looking for talent that's going to help them win in the margins at the highest levels. And so I'm very optimistic as a guy who's just kind of come around this last year. And I think that there's a lot to look forward to and a lot of stability given the fact that the Valley is chaotic right now.
Right. Yes, I agree. And the one thing I want to mention was we didn't mention Connor Linky. Have you heard anything definitive with him?
I have not heard anything definitive. I don't have a direct line to the athletic office at Bradley University. No, I mean, I think the consensus that's been out there, that's been speculated about on message boards and things like that, is that there is potential for him to return and possibly return at a non-scholarship position. I imagine that we probably won't hear anything in that regards, if I had to guess, until the rest of the roster shakes out, because I'm certain that Brian Wardle is more than willing to provide him a scholarship if there is one to be had after the dust settles and we've filled out the roster. But, and I mean, again, this goes to, and you know, again, this is speculation. I've not heard this from anybody, you know, that's all in the know or whatever. I mean, it's all just pure fan speculation at this point. You know, it's if that all is the case and true, that's just another testament to Connor Linky's character and the type of guy he is. And those are the types of people that you need in your program to build a successful program, especially at this level. That stuff matters. And winning matters too. Yes, we all love to win, but it's even better when you can win and have a group of young men who are of high character and integrity. And I think that that's one thing the staff has done a tremendous job of cultivating here at Bradley. So it wouldn't surprise me if Connor sticks around in some capacity, and that would be a net positive as far as I'm concerned. When you talk about bringing in so many new pieces, which we're going to have to do, it's really nice to have somebody who knows the system. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is like Connor's floor is fairly high. You know, yeah, maybe the ceiling's not sky high, but the floor is pretty high too, in terms of, you know, exactly what you're going to get out of him. And you know, he's the type of player that you don't, as fans, you don't necessarily miss him until they're gone. And you're like, man, I'd give anything to have that, like, just reliable, like 15 minute a game guy that can come in and just, and not screw anything up. And still, I mean, and Connor did way more than that. I'm not trying to say that's what he did. I mean, he was great on the boards. He did a pretty good job defensively, and he managed to get himself a few buckets along the way. So He certainly wasn't making any more mistakes than the other folks that he was on the floor with. So he's definitely not a liability. He's an asset at this point moving forward. And if he does choose to remain a part of the program, I think that we're lucky as fans to have him.
I mean, it's also familiarity and depth, right? Where we have talked, or you talked a lot. I think you said you beat this drum every week, where he was giving valuable minutes off the bench. And though, as you said, those are guys that you need. Not everybody can be the superstar. There's only one ball. It's a team game. And you're going to have to find guys who are going to fill these roles as the season goes along. And the more guys like that that Bradley is able to keep, I think it keeps the continuity together. I mean, I think we joke that Connor's a glue guy. And you need those guys. You need somebody who's been around the program. And when I look to next year, I think Duke Dean is going to be the leader of this team. He's obviously the veteran. He's the best player. And there's, again, there's a lot of building that has already been done that's not going to have to be replaced. However, you guys did mention new names on the squad. And I know that there is a name that is percolating out there who hit the transfer portal from my home state of Rhode Island. So do you guys want to talk about him?
Yeah, so Bradley fans obviously have heard about this by now. Zeke Montgomery has entered the transfer portal at Rhode Island. Again, pure speculation. It's been speculated about his potential return to Peoria and to Bradley. And there's been, I think that, again, the consensus seems to be that fans are in favor of it. I personally am in favor of it. I think that in this unpredictable world of the transfer portal, where you don't always, you may think you know what you're going to get, but you really don't know until it's too late one way or the other. I don't think you could pass up a guy like this, you know, that's played within your system, that's played with some of these players, that was successful here. You know exactly what you're getting. It's a very risk-free move, in my opinion. And it just seems like a no-brainer. I think that if he wants to come back here and Bradley's able to make it work through the NIL and things of that sort, that it's something they should get done.
Rick, are you in favor of this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm in favor of Zeke coming back. I know they're, you know, I've read many different things on a couple different platforms, boards, you know, some of the local fans, some things, you know, think he's a little inconsistent and such. I think his numbers out in Rhode Island for several games were pretty impressive, you know, total point wise and such. And I think he reached a point out there. He just wasn't happy. I just don't think he was happy there. You know, and that may have led a little bit to a little bit of his slumping and hitting the bench. But, you know, I think he's excited if he can come back here. I think his game will be rejuvenated. Him and Darius Hannah are pretty tight. It's just going to lift them both up. And when we get talking about leadership, I mean, Darius Hannah and Zeke together, and then with Duke Dean, you know, and even Davis, Christian Davis, and four of them have all played together. You know, it to me, it's pretty exciting. All we need now is a rink to come back.
You know what's funny, guys, and this is close to home for me, but Brad, I think I said this to you offline via text message about Zeke transferring from Bradley to Rhode Island. And I said that even though it's in the A-10, I saw it as a downgrade. Like, if you're going to go to one of the two basketball schools in Rhode Island, Providence College is the one to go to. It's in the Big East. It has more of a consistent heritage of winning. And this is not, he didn't transfer to the Rhode Island team that had Dan Hurley. Now, everybody probably forgets at this point that Dan Hurley was coaching at Rhode Island before he got to UConn, and now he's created this juggernaut at UConn. And so there's been a lot of inconsistency. And so to leave a program that has had the same coach, the same culture, everything, to go to a program like Rhode Island, which really hasn't had that, seemed kind of an odd move to me. And normally, I think guys do a lot of transferring to try to move up. And so I thought it was funny hearing Rhode Island, because this is me throwing shade at the University of Rhode Island, not at Zeke, by the way. And I would have rather go to PC, personally. But we'll take him back. But Rick, I do have to ask you a question, and it's not meant to trigger you in any way, but is there a line for you about guys coming back, or is it doesn't matter as long as they contribute and win?
Depends on how they left. You know, I think that has a big thing. I mean, did they leave, you know, maybe with big old chip on their shoulder and just not liking people, you know, in that particular case, then, you know, I don't know if I'd want to bring them back, because they're more of a big, best word I could think of is a cancer to the system. And the tight knit closeness of the team. And I think that is as important in building a team and sustaining success as being extremely talented.
No, I'm refreshed to hear you say that, because I think a lot of people will talk themselves into anybody as long as that means that the program is going to win, and they'll sort of sell their soul a little bit and not think of those things that you talked about. But I think that that's refreshing to hear. I was not meaning to like see if you'd go full homer on it. I was just curious because I know a lot of people, and this is not a Bradley thing. This is a national thing, and it's not even a college. It's professional. It doesn't matter as long as that person will help them win. And I think that Bradley is in a good position to be stable this coming year. But I want to get to the Valley, guys, because the Valley is not stable. The Valley is absolute chaos. And the coaching movement has just been kind of crazy. Some moves that we thought were going to happen, some moves that surprised us, some moves that haven't happened yet. So, Brad, why don't you get into some of the coaching moves that we had to endure over the last couple of weeks? And then I think we'll turn that into an outlook on next season as of today.
Yeah, so the one that's obviously still up in the air, technically speaking, is Josh Schertz. It seems that there's already, you know, not official contracts, but there's already things in place that are solidifying his move to St. Louis University. And by all accounts, the most of the roster is going to go with him, it sounds like. So no one can blame him. I think he made $350,000 a year at Indiana State. He's looking to, I don't know, 5X that probably going to St. Louis University. And then you add in just the resources in general that can go towards NIL and facilities and everything along those lines. And it sucks for Indiana State. It sucks for the Valley because Josh Schertz is a great, hot, up-and-coming coach. Say up-and-coming, but the guy put in his time, you know, 12 years at D2, did nothing but win. And, you know, obviously was on the fast track at Indiana State, getting them should have been to the NCAA tournament in year three.
For sure.
And still, you know, they're going to play right after this in the semifinals of the NIT for a shot to go to the NIT championship. So they're not done yet. But it stinks that a school like Indiana State or even Bradley realistically would not be in a position to retain someone when you are up against that kind of money. And that's just the A-10 we're talking about. Now, yes, St. Louis has they probably have something close to like a middle of the pack Big East budget. I mean, they're definitely the big dog when it comes to, you know, budgets and things like that in the A-10 or real close to it. It's not necessarily a fair representation of what, you know, a mid-major or a step-up mid-major conference or school would be like. But if, you know, these big boys come calling, there's not much you can do. And yeah, loyalty and the love of a city and a school, it goes so far. But when you're talking about an opportunity to create generational wealth and, you know, even obviously these coaches, they all want to see, for the most part, how they can compete on the biggest stage against the best coaches and the best teams and the best players. And not just the once or twice a year you get a shot at it when you're a mid-major, but night in and night out. And so you don't blame a guy like Josh Schertz or anyone else for leaving and going to take their shot at the next level. Don't blame him one bit. And it wouldn't surprise me if Schertz goes there and has a couple great seasons and then he's on to an even bigger job.
I was actually going to say the A-10 was kind of, I don't want to say unstable, but it was very top heavy this year. And so if he goes in there and does what he does at Indiana State, there's a possibility that they could be in the hunt for the A-10 every year that he is there. And it's exactly right, man. The checkbooks are just going to get fatter. And I always use the fact that Texas A&M boosters raised all the money they needed to fire Jimbo Fisher during halftime of a football game. So these schools have a ton of money that they can get. And the other thing about this, when it comes to all, like most of the coaches that move on, is ambition. These guys want to prove to themselves that they can do what they do at the highest level. And yes, there's pay bumps that go with that and everything, but it's got to be personal pride. I mean, until you get to the highest of highs, like Nick Saban probably was trying to prove that he could do it better and by going to the NFL, and he failed. So he goes back to Alabama, creates this giant, just, you know, like basically a corporation of football players. And guys in basketball want to do that too. And when you look at DeVries going to West Virginia, it is my most hated school out there. I hate the man even more. Takes his son, obviously, but that's Big 12 basketball. It's a different ball game. But you mentioned about Schertz being in Division II, and I think the guy that is replacing DeVries is, again, a guy who's been in Division II, won championships in Division II. So it seems like Drake may be in a position where they could be where Indiana State is a lot quicker than I think people thought out, you know, not this year, but in a couple years.
Yeah, I agree with that. But
That's what we're here for.
Go ahead.
You know, with shirts, trying to just come up with the, you know, yeah, they've had some successful coaches prior to shirts, just not the coaches that got them over the hump like shirts has, you know, and
big difference.
Three of the, well, most all these programs going to have to basically do a complete rebuild. And that's where a lot of things for like next year with the Valley as a whole, you know, it's who knows with the transfer portal. You know, these guys, you know, these universities can make some pretty decent hires and bring in great coaches, and it just might take them a little bit of time. This is where I think fans and administrations need to have patience and not so gung-ho in firing a coach after a couple of years because of this transfer portal, that they need to let coaches, especially young coaches coming from a D2 or lower, or even assistant at D1 coming in, they need to get used to, you know, a little bit more used to, you know, being the guy in charge, going after portal guys, high school kids too. You know, one year you may be on, the next year, you know, may not be so successful.
Well, and that's the one thing that's interesting when it comes to these guys, these mid-major coaches moving up to these big-time jobs. Like the Louisville job was speculated about like crazy. And like, you know, I made jokes like, you know, if I had a dollar for every time there was a new top candidate, leading candidate for the Louisville job.
Patino.
It was crazy the different people that seemed to surface. And yes, a lot of these guys, you know, they didn't get to where they are now by not being able to coach basketball. Might just Dana Ford maybe, but like they didn't get to where they are now because they can't coach basketball. All these guys can coach. And what I think is yet to be seen from, you know, these guys going up to the next level is, do they have the chops when it comes to being able to deal with the money guys and the handlers that you have to deal with at the Power Six level? I can only imagine what sort of underbelly exists within Louisville basketball. And to be able to manage that and those personalities and things, like obviously, you know, Josh Schertz is not that he couldn't do it. He seems like a pretty charismatic guy, but he's had to deal with nothing even similar to that at like Indiana State, for example. So I think by, not that SLU is necessarily on that level, but it's certainly a step in that direction with, you know, playing on a little more of a level playing field to see how the guy handles it. You know, all those off the court things that you have to sort of not be involved in, but also sort of try to maintain control over to some degree. Vidal had a great point about Indiana State getting depleted. 100%. I mean, that's going to happen to about half the teams in the league, unfortunately. And I know, Dad, you were holding out hope that loyalty would prevail and the Valley would return full strength next season. And the rest of us knew there was 0% chance that was going to happen. And here we are. But Bradley's in a great position. They're in a really great position going into the next season, I think.
Well, Brad, too, the other thing about moving up is the players become much more, I don't want to say entitled because that brings a negative connotation, but I think that it becomes more and more difficult to manage them. They become more and more like pro athletes, where it's a lot harder to motivate them just by the way you've always done it. And a guy like Wardle, who is known for being a hard coach, right? He coaches his players very difficult or very hard. It's like that doesn't fly as much when the money, the NIL money, starts to get a little bit higher. I think very few coaches can get away with it because they come with the pedigree of winning an actual championships at that level. And so that's the part that'll be fascinating. But with all these guys coming into the Valley, even looking at like they've all been head coaches at some point, whether it's a second stint with the school or they've been a head coach recently, but it's like all of this new paradigm is only a couple of years old. And so if you haven't coached within the last few years as a head coach, you still haven't even had the kind of experience that you need to deal with the portal, to deal with NIL. And that's going to take a little bit of time. And that's where I think Bradley, looking at the outlook just as of right now for next season, they have stability, which is something that a lot of these schools outside of like Northern Iowa probably can really say. And they're also bringing back guys that have contributed, that you know are going to contribute. And I think that that puts them in a really, really good position where you have what feels like half the Valley is going to be rebuilding next year. And I have to say that's optimistic.
Certainly. And some of those places will rebuild faster than others, I'm sure. And you mentioned, you know, DeVries going to West Virginia. It'll be interesting there because that's going to be a rebuild. And, you know, I'm sure that I imagine this conversation had to take place in the DeVries household of like, hey, man, like we're going to try to piece this thing together, like him talking to Tucker. We're going to try to piece this thing together to have a good season. But like it's an uphill battle. I mean, call me crazy, but they probably had a better chance of making the NCAA tournament next year if they stayed at Drake. But it, at the end of the day, I get it. You want to, dad wants the payday. Don't blame him for that. And Tucker's going to get to see how he stacks up against some of the best players in the country every night. And so no fault to those guys at all. And it'll be interesting, though, to see how quickly they're able to piece together a productive roster. And then, obviously, Missouri State, you know, they replaced Dana Ford with Quanzo Martin. This is his second stint at Missouri State. And, you know, he bounced around to a couple Power Fives in between. So he does have that experience at the Power Five level. It seems like people feel optimistic about his ability to get things on track there pretty quickly. And, you know, I hopped on an X Spaces, last week, one day, maybe over the weekend, Wyatt Wheeler, he's like a beat writer from Missouri State, had an X Spaces where he was talking about this. And he said that there's some things built in his contract down there that are in regards to attendance and student involvement and things like that. So, you know, those are some of the metrics they want to see moved, obviously, in addition to winning on the floor. So it'll be it'll kind of be interesting to see if he can get things going down there at Missouri State. I mean, that Missouri State was really good for a long time. I mean, always in the top half of the Valley, and they've really fallen off in the last couple of years. And they underachieved with the talent that they had. We've talked about that a lot here as well. You turn to Southern Illinois. I think a lot of people were a little surprised that Brian Mullins got fired. We knew that if things maybe didn't, they didn't make a jump, you know, soon, that this could be on the table, but it happened a little earlier than everyone expected. He got picked up at DePaul as an assistant, and it sounds like, you know, a couple of his guys are going to follow him there, because that roster immediately entered the portal. I think they had like one guy on scholarship the last I saw still remaining. And then Scott Nagy from Wright State replaces Brian Mullins, you know, and Matt, like you kind of put in the notes here, a winning history at Wright State, and there's no doubt about that. And his name's one that's been thrown around, you know, it was thrown around when the Bradley job opened, when Brian Wardle got it. It's been bounced around. Like, seems like every time a Valley job opens up, his name surfaces at some point in time, and you know, so he's going to get a shot. And then probably the most puzzling one at UIC is Rob Eason replacing Luke Yaklich. I mean, the guy had a head coaching stint in UAB, went 16-20, and he's coming from an assistant coach job at Stanford, and it's just a weird move. I don't know a ton about the guy outside of just the resume in general, but that's a tough job as it is, I think. And then, I don't know, you just make an underwhelming hire to put the icing on the cake. And, you know, they had some pieces that I think if they could have, I don't know, if they could have made a smart move here, you maybe could have kept things from falling off as much as they're going to, but it's certainly not looking great at UIC.
That's got to be the toughest one to turn over, right? Because they went, 9-32 since transitioning to the Valley in conference play or something like that. They did not transition well. And when I look at Southern Illinois, I think that they're the school that, I mean, Drake's losing the most, or in Indiana State eventually, probably, in terms of talent on the court, and obviously a good coach, but Southern Illinois hasn't been to the tournament in 17 years, and that's a motivator. And I think that for them, the stakes are a little bit higher, even though this is the Valley and even though this is not Power Five. I think that they view that program as, we want to get back to where we were. We want to get back to consistent tournament basketball. And I think that they're going to throw a lot of resources there to try to get back as quickly as possible. I just see UIC as in the toughest position, because they're already coming from being a bottom feeder, essentially. They're still not transitioning to the Valley very well. And I feel like, yes, there's a lot of chaos, but if these other schools start to put it together earlier, UIC is going to be very, very difficult to get back, especially with a guy who's underwhelming.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I mean, sometimes I wonder the Yaklich firing myself, but then also, no, I don't. And the reason I say that is because UIC started the season out pretty good, went flat, and then the last few weeks of the season, they, you know, I mean, they took Drake to double overtime, was it?
Yeah.
Before,
yeah,
I mean, they lost.
Down the stretch, for
you
sure.
You know, and they gave us a game in the Valley tournament. So, you know, maybe it was because they muddied it up a little bit. But.
Well, and that, honestly, that loss probably was the dagger in the heart of Brian Mullen's tenure
for
in
sure.
Southern Illinois.
We said that too. Like, there's no way he was going to survive that. If they were already kind of on the fence.
I'm talking about UIC.
No way.
Yeah, but them losing to UIC, Arch Madness.
Yeah.
But guys, when I look at all of this and I look at what's happened for Bradley, just if we're doing a way too early outlook on next season, assuming that Schertz and all the guys leave Indiana State, Bradley, to me, seems like the preseason favorite to win the Valley right now.
As it stands now, yeah. Yeah. I mean, with what we got, even if we don't bring anybody in, we've got the most experience. And that's also assuming Schertz and Indiana State starting five leave. You know, we've got the most experience, most talent at today. So, yeah, I mean, right now, let's wait and see what the new coaches bring in, you know, from transfer portal and high school. You know, and there's going to be a learning curve for them guys. I mean, they're not going to, you know, you bring in a bunch of new guys, you know, playing together for the first time and come up against the Bradley defense. You know, they're not going to fare well.
Oh, that's just it. It could go both ways, because I was sitting there thinking through this as you were talking, where, you know, these guys don't know the Valley, whatever. And I do think, obviously, there is an advantage that comes with familiarity. But at the same time, like, Brad, the Valley coaches that are sticking around don't know these guys either. So it's going to be a feeling out process from both sides. And with the portal, it's not like it was 5 years ago, where if you did lose a coach, yes, sometimes players could leave, and they would leave because that's one of the ways you could get a free transfer. It didn't seem like you were literally building a roster from scratch. And to see there being 4 to 5 teams that are building literally from scratch is crazy. And I think, you know, we're also caught up in the coaches and the players that have left and the schools that are going to have to rebuild. And I think we're forgetting about, like, who's still around. Like, obviously we know what Bradley has, but Murray State, it looks like, is going to be bringing quite a few pieces back. Northern Iowa lost a couple, but they're retaining some guys. You pay more attention to this stuff than I do, Dad, so you probably could tell me more about Murray State and Valpo held on to a couple of their best pieces. They extended Roger Powell already, so they must feel good about the direction things are going there.
Is that like a distant cousin for you guys?
Yeah, can't you see the resemblance?
But yeah. I think the factor for Bradley next year, and maybe again, this is an intangible thing, but I believe in them, motivation. Last two seasons, great seasons, losing in Arch. And I just think that Coach Wardle may be looking at this season as an opportunity to do something truly special. And I'm not sure if he's thinking about it for his future prospects or what, but we are probably going to be talking about Bradley the way that we're talking about a lot of these other programs next year, potentially, because again, it's setting up for, you just are going to have turnover. Even if guys stay, they have 1 year of eligibility left, and it's one of those things where there's always going to be turnover. I think the first episode, Rick, you said things are cyclical. Things happen. Mm-hmm. And so this is an opportunity for a lot of these guys that are staying, thinking about the way that the season has ended now, two seasons in a row. This is the time to do something special. And for all we know, we could be talking about Bradley this time next year as having had a great run to the Sweet 16 or something like that, because I think that they are set up right now to have something like that happen. But there's still a lot of time in the offseason, and Coach Wardle and the staff is going to be ready and prepared. And I think come November, we're all going to be feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, if Coach Wardle can get, I'm going to say, at least 2 home runs through the portal.
Pressure.
I think he can do it. I mean, 2 guys that I know of, I think that are on the radar for us to possibly get, would be home runs, in my opinion. That's my opinion. This would, if we were to get both those guys and then, you know, a few other whomevers, this would be Coach Wardle's best opportunity to take both the regular season and the tournament championship.
Well, I think he's the type of guy that, you know, he takes this stuff personally, man. Like, he cares a lot, he knows that things didn't go well with the portal. You know, he probably knows that more than anybody. And he doesn't need us to tell him that. And I guarantee you it bothers him. And there's no one else who wants to right that wrong, if you want to call it that, for lack of a better way to put it, than Brian Wardle. Because there's a lot of noise around this program, and sometimes it is negative. And I guarantee you there's no one who wants to shut up the haters more than a Brian Wardle. And like, he loves that angle, right? That underdog, like, I'll show you, I have something to prove. A type of thing, and this is his opportunity right here to go out there and, like Dad said, hit a couple home runs in the portal and really put a good basketball team on the floor next year. Because you already have the core, and we talked about the possibility of like adding a Zeke Montgomery back into the fold, which is a huge plus in my opinion. And then you get these few other pieces from the portal, and we're going to be in really, really good shape. Obviously, you still have to go out and execute. They don't play these games on paper, but you got to feel good about where the Braves are sitting at that point in time.
Yeah, and injuries, of course, you can't predict, but those are just part of sports and everything. But guys, it was good to come back here and remind everybody that we still exist, even though the season on the court is over and the offseason is going to be continuing to spin. So I assume that we're going to come back here at least once a month during the offseason. Rick, I'm sure that you have an entire history lesson of Bradley basketball things, PowerPoints, slideshows, things of this nature for educating the masses. But guys, you have any parting thoughts before we let everybody go watch Indiana State win?
Yeah, I want to say one more thing on transfers. Uh-oh. And portal. You know, more of the portal. And it refers to Pettigrew and Ellis, who left, you know, last fall. I'm not going to blame Wardle for that. I'm not even, you know, okay, they didn't work out. They were failures and misses, if you want to call them. I'm not blaming Wardle. And I don't know the internal stuff, but there isn't a fan in Peoria that was rooting for Bradley that would say from the beginning when they heard Pettigrew and Ellis were coming to Bradley would have said, oh, that's a bad pick. We all were high on both those players, and neither one of them showed out. I mean, from day one, you know, as far as, you know, the public able to watch them, I didn't see much from either one of them. And I knew, okay, both of them had been injured the previous stint and needed to work, get floor time, and Wardle even admitted that they just need some more floor time, but they're not going to get it in the meat of big games. So, but anyway,
trust the bench.
That's my.
And I mean, and I think, and not to, Brian Wardle, if he heard you say that, he would probably disagree with you. You would say, this is my program. It's my responsibility. I think he would own it, you know, and not that it was, again, that's not saying he's at fault, but he certainly, you know, the responsibility at the end of the day for everything that happens in the program falls on his shoulders, and he'd be the first person to tell you that. And he's the first person that's gonna put the effort in to make sure that doesn't happen again. And I have no doubt about that. And we alluded to talking a little bit about Mal earlier. And again, I mean, we sort of forget because how excited we are about how hard it's going to be to replace Mal. The guy's so stinking solid and stable. I mean, he's a great defender, all league defender, 2 years in a row, and it's been beaten into the ground about how he does so many things that don't show up in a box score. And it's true. And we're going to see how we're probably going to realize even more of that next year. I mean, hopefully not. If we don't, it means we brought in some really great players. But I think that, you know, Amal's hard to replace, not just his production, but his character and his leadership. And he will certainly be missed, you know, and best of luck to him. I know he got invited to a showcase that I think only 64 guys get invited to, an NBA showcase of some kind. So, I think his game could translate to the next level. I mean, he'd be kind of a specialist, I think. I'm not an NBA guru by any means, but I think that, you know, his defensive abilities certainly maybe could find him a place on a roster somewhere. So if nothing else, he certainly could play overseas. So best of luck to Mal, and, you know, super excited to see what happens here over the next couple weeks with the transfer portal and even, you know, young guys that are going to be coming in as well. Tons to be excited about, tons to talk about this offseason, and at least for a couple more hours, we're all still Indiana State fans.
That is absolutely correct, guys. So I hope everybody is going to watch the NIT. I'm certainly rooting for the Trees to win it all so that they can prove to everybody that they should have been in the big tournament. And Brad, you and I talked about it on Iceman and Coach last week that the madness kind of was tame this year because there were way too many bid stealers, and a school like Indiana State certainly should have had a place in the tournament. It's not a perfect system for creating the field. It is the system that we have, but they have the chance to go out as winners of the NIT, and I think it'd be fantastic for Shirts to take the entire starting five of an NIT club and head to St. Louis, where instantly that should be a better team than it was last year. Well, I want to thank everybody for sticking with us, for riding with us. I know it's been a while because the last time Rick did not feel like doing the show, so we had to you know, go on the whims of our guy. He needs an appearance fee, things of this nature. And I'm thinking that, you know, maybe for Coach Wardle, we can create the OG ring, and, you know, guys before they leave the program have to make sure they kiss the ring so that Rick doesn't say anything bad about them and wants them back on the team and so forth. So we'll look into branding some of those things. Maybe we'll work with Home of the Brave to get some money out to Rick for that stuff. But I appreciate everybody's time and effort and just the support that we have received. This was a fun season, and we certainly have a lot of fun to have. So, guys, it's always fun to see you two. And, Rick, you know I love you. That's why I joke around with you. And this has been a totally fun undertaking. I don't know when we'll see you again, but hopefully it will be for good news even as early as next week. So, guys, from the OG, from the coach, and from the Iceman, enjoy the game, and we'll see you next time. This is Braves Talk. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on INC Sports are those of Matt Frakes, Brad Powell, and their guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. INC Sports is exclusively owned by Matt Frakes and Brad Powell and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.